There's free speech and then there's hate speech. And there is no place, especially now, especially after what happened to Charlie, in our society.
Do you see more law enforcement going after these groups who are using hate speech and putting cuffs on people so we show them that some action is better than no action?
We will absolutely target you, go after you, if you are targeting anyone with hate speech, anything. And that's across the aisle.
That was Attorney General Pam Bondi on Monday on Katie Miller's podcast talking about targeting hate speech. And then that erupted into a whole conversation of what is free speech, what's protected, what's not. Clay Calvert is non-resident senior fellow at the American Enterprise Institute and professor of law. He joins us now at the University of Florida. Good morning to you, Clay.
Hey, how are you? Thanks for having me.
So now we're in this discussion of free speech. And what did you think when you heard the Attorney General of the United States say that?
Sure. Well, first of all, in the United States, hate speech generally is protected. We do not have an unprotected category of speech in the United States called hate speech. There are several categories of speech that are not protected by the First Amendment. We think of child pornography, obscenity, true threats of violence, incitement, things like defamation, speech that's integral to criminal conduct. But hate speech by itself is generally protected unless it's used in the context of like a fighting word scenario. The N-word from a white person to a black person in a heated context, that's hate speech, and it also would not be protected. But it's not protected because it's used in a fighting word context where the target's likely to swing back. So I think that's a big misconception that hate speech is somehow not protected by the First Amendment. We protect a lot of offensive speech in the United States.
Clay, we are in this hyper-polarized climate right now. Do you think that officials are at risk of conflating unpopular and controversial speech with criminal conduct? I mean, what are the potential dangers of that?
Yeah, I agree with you. I think there's a risk of conflating disagreement with a viewpoint that government officials don't like. And if that viewpoint is expressed in a hostile or offensive manner, then I think there's a danger that the government will say, it's how you're saying it and what you're saying. We're not really trying to silence your viewpoint. We're just going after the language that you're using. But that could be a guise, in other words, for censoring an opinion that the government really doesn't like. So I think that's a great point about conflating the two.
Well, and then what we're seeing, too, and from your legal expertise, we're seeing these folks being fired from jobs for things that they post online. Is that going to be problematic? Are there grounds for lawsuits there?
Sure, there are, especially. So public, there are really two differences, right? One is public employees and then non-public employees. So the First Amendment only protects us from censorship by government entities. So if you are a public employee, you do have some First Amendment speech rights, but those speech rights are not absolute. And that's very important to understand. So if you're a public employee, you work for the government, you do have some First Amendment speech rights, but they're not absolute. The first thing you'd have to ask, I'll go through this really quickly, is are you speaking in a private citizen capacity? On your own time, you know, away from the job, you're posting something on Instagram or Facebook or X. There you might have some First Amendment rights. If you're speaking pursuant to your official job duties, you really don't have any First Amendment rights. And then the other thing that we would ask in this situation is, what are you talking about? A matter of private interest, your personal private interest, or a matter of public concern? So Charlie Kirk, his viewpoints are clearly matters of public concern. His assassination is a matter of public concern. And so you're going to have some First Amendment protection if you're speaking in your private First Amendment capacity as a private citizen, right? But you're talking about a matter of public concern. But then those rights are not absolute. So we've seen a lot of public high school teachers and middle school and elementary school teachers be fired or suspended. And that makes sense because if they're celebrating Kirk's death, that's obviously going to make a number of students feel uncomfortable in those classrooms, right? Mm-hmm. It creates a hostile educational environment. So it impairs the ability of public schools and the government to effectively deliver its teaching services to students. It would be like, allowing a teacher to make racist comments, and then students of that race in the class would feel uncomfortable. So it's a balancing at that stage. So they do have rights. Here's the big picture, I would say. You could criticize Kirk's views on issues, but celebrating his death is a very different matter.
But here we are, an uptick of political violence. and we're trying to find the line where it protects the lives of people, but also continuing our tradition here in this country. No one knows what to do.
I totally agree with you. And working our way out of this mess is going to be highly problematic. I mean, right now in this country, it's almost like the pendulum swings back or oscillates further and faster from one side to the other with very little middle ground. We live, you know, as you suggested, in a pluralistic society, a democracy, where we know that people are going to have disagreements. They're going to have different views. That's why it's pluralism. And so we have to be able to tolerate viewpoints that we disagree with. And the solution is obviously not violence. It's discussion and debate and discourse and sometimes compromise, right? We learn over time that our own views sometimes are not always 100% correct or any correct at all, right? And so that ability to compromise and discuss things, I think, has sadly been lost over time.
And Clay, Supreme Court Justice Sonia Sotomayor said that if law students aren't taught civics, law school has failed because lawyers are meant to work for the system. So in your view, what does she mean by that? And why is it particularly concerning when lawyers or lawmakers propose limiting free speech?
Oh, I totally agree. She also mentioned that we need to understand the difference between a president and a king, I think, during that talk.
Yes.
Or another recent talk. That's correct. I mean, I think lawyers are part of the legal system. And we saw this with Trump and some of the settlements with some of the law firms, basically getting lawyers to, you know, take his side on different issues. I think that's very problematic is what she's getting at, that we have in our, you know, system of government, we have the executive branch, the legislative branch, and the judicial branch, and they each have their own roles. And so I think that lawyers play as part, you know, we're thinking about the judiciary. They argue to the judiciary, right, that they're highly involved in that process. We can't just have a collapse where it's simply the executive branch that controls everything. That's just my humble opinion on that.
Well, we appreciate your humble opinion and all your opinions. Thank you, Clay Calvert. We appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
And, you know, we have open lines at 735 if you want to call in and talk about your thoughts, where you lie on this hate speech. I mean, it's like we said yesterday, I find it morally reprehensible mm-hmm. to say some of these things, but it's not criminal. And since then, the AG has walked back some of her comments when it comes to this.
Yeah, and because that drew a lot of criticism even from those on the right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there are lawmakers that are really rooted in their belief of the Constitution and what these rights mean, mm-hmm. especially in
they should be rooted in
well, I mean, yeah. Of course
yeah.
they should.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you have some that are really steadfast in that and mm-hmm. they don't deviate. Any other pressure outside of that. And so, yeah, I think it's an interesting look that there was even some pressure from their side.
Yeah. So, all right, open line, 735, hate speech, free speech, where's the line? Plus, let's get into a little bit of the president in Windsor. I love the pomp and circumstance. I love it. Next.